We're reading one verse out of the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, and verse 18. So stand with me, if you would, for the reading of the word. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. And Lord, I firmly believe this is a word directly from you for this body. And I pray that you would help us to be obedient, that we would receive it, that every person would have fertile ground, that they would receive your word, they would receive these promises, that we would not try to force them or make them happen according to our own means, but we would see your hand at work as we trust and obey you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. The Lord has given a fresh vision for our church. The reason we went through this series in Joshua, talking about crossing over, I believe that God has brought this church into a place and a time in which we are crossing over that proverbial Jordan River into the promises that God has given us. I believe it's time. I believe it's time for us to act. I believe that we have an opportunity that the Lord has put before us as individuals and as men and women of God, as a church family. Now is the time to act. Now's the time to act. I believe the word of the Lord, the prophetic word of the Lord for 2017 and 18, is that the Lord has given us fresh vision, and I'm declaring that these things will come to pass by the end of 2018. Our vision can be summed up in four words. So if you're following along on the back, these are your four blanks. And I'm going to elaborate on them. The first is grow. The second word is serve. The third is give. And the last is send. To put it in a statement, the first thing, grow, we will grow in every way in order to fulfill the Great Commission. Which means we're going to grow in multiple ways. We will grow spiritually, meaning that we will have deeper relationship with God. Individually, we will have deeper intimacy with Him and connection with Him. We'll have more of Him every day and not just on Sundays. We will grow spiritually in worship of God corporately. We will see the Lord pour out His Spirit in this house in increasing power and glory. We will press into His presence together as one body. We will grow physically, meaning that we will see many souls won to the kingdom of God in our services and through various means of outreach and evangelism. And we will bring in real discipleship to the lives of every new believer. We won't seek decisions for Christ. We will make disciples. We will teach people what it means to be a child of God. Because it's not just a prayer, it's a change in how people live. We'll make room for more people to join our church family. Now the question is, on this grow, how? The first is that we will always emphasize the pursuit of God's presence and intimate relationship with Him as our primary objective. That will never change. Who are we? We are God's children that run after Him as fast as we can and with as much fervor as we can. That is our foundation. We will establish home or cell groups very soon. Information will come on that very soon. Once Alpha has finished, we will maintain strong relationships and discipleship. Alpha will also continue with details to be discussed between Sheila and I. But it will be a core of who we are as we move forward. But the real issue is those things will be discipleship tools, not only to build a stronger relationship with God, but stronger relationships within the body of Christ. We will have at least 4 to 6 corporate community outreaches every year. At least 4 to 6. Where this local body will go into our community in some capacity, and we will reach our community. We will see people won to the glory of the Lord. And we will see people get saved that'll plug in other churches, and we will still rejoice along with them. We will build a new sanctuary that will seat 250 to 300 people. And we'll have the ability to easily expand for future growth. I want to build on this for a minute. I had 2 prophetic words given to me in January by 2 men that don't know each other, but I know both of them within 30 minutes of each other. And both said that we would build by the end of this year. Now I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it very plainly. We will not rush it. I'm speaking it into existence. I'm speaking it out in the open so we know how to pray. Because I'm believing for a debt-free building that we don't owe a nickel on. And it's going to be the Lord that's going to have to do it. Amen? So I want everybody to hear me when I say this. We will not rush it. We will not rush it. I've made mistakes in ministry. I've made mistakes in ministry here where I've heard the voice of God and I've acted too quickly, and I can promise you this is one area we're not going to rush it. Okay? But I believe it's going to happen by the end of next year. I believe it's going to happen at some point, at least the starting of the process this year. But we're not going to rush it. What are we going to do? We're going to seek God on it. Amen? So that's how we're going to grow. How are we going to serve? We're going to serve God. We're going to serve one another. And we're going to serve our community. We will serve the Lord faithfully in, and this is one of those repeat after me things because I want you to hear me. We will serve the Lord faithfully in full obedience. Say full obedience.
Full obedience.
It means we're going to do what He says, when He says, and how He says to do it. We're not going to go with man-made ideas that make sense. We're going to go with God-ordained vision that He sets before us. And we can't do that unless we are in communion, in deep connection with Him, and learning from Him, and hearing from Him. You can't hear from God if you don't have a connection with Him. If you're not open to hear, be willing to receive from Him. But we will be fully obedient to Him. Why? Because He is our main focus. We will serve the church faithfully. This is going to step on some toes. We will step up when we see a need in the church instead of being lazy and expecting others to carry the load of the work. We will take Spirit-led initiative and we'll take action. It takes teamwork to make the dream work, right? It's time to step up, take initiative, and volunteer. We will do our work diligently. Meaning that we don't wait till the last minute to put ministry ideas together. We'll seek God. It doesn't matter if your ministry ministers to one person or to the entire church body. Ministry is an act of worship. And the way that you conduct yourself in doing that ministry is a sign of your worship and your heart of worship to the Lord Almighty. You do your work, you do it to the best of your ability. And you honor God or dishonor Him through the way that you do your work. We will serve our community faithfully, which means we'll do the big things and the little things. It means that we'll do outreaches, that we'll give money and food to the poor, but we'll also hold doors open for people when we're at the store. It means that we won't flip people the bird in the car, but instead when somebody cuts us off, we'll pray for them. Some of y'all acting self-righteous, but I can guarantee you there's at least one person in here today that's done it before. Probably more. We will be kind and courteous at all times, showing God's love. You want Victory to be a different church making a difference? We got to be different. Right? If we look the same, we're not a different church making a difference. We're the same church doing the same thing the world is. And is that even a church in the first place? And we're going to work with other churches and other ministries, however the Lord would lead, to reach our city and our region for the gospel and the sake of Jesus Christ. We've got to remember that our focus is to be kingdom builders and not church builders. I'm going to give you some statistics here. Our city, just the city of Columbia City, right, is close to a population of about 9,000 people. According to the last census that was done in 2010, and it's grown some since that census was taken 7 years ago. It's grown. Guess what? In our area, I had a local pastor tell me that just in our county, in our area, there's over 30,000 people. What does that mean? That means that we have to be willing to work with other believers, other Christians, other churches to reach our city. Because even when the time comes for us to build, it's still not going to be big enough to hold 30,000 people. Right? And if we want to see people become everything that the Lord has called them to be, that means we're going to have to be willing to set our pride to the side, not worry about Victory Christian Fellowship as much as we do seeing people won to the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you what a byproduct of that is. Our church will grow as a byproduct of that mentality, right? So if we're worried about leading people to Jesus, everything else take care of itself, right? Amen? How are we going to see these things happen? I've mentioned it a few times already. How are we going to see these service acts of service happen? We're going to seek the Lord's guidance and direction. Simply put, He directs, we obey. I don't know the specifics on it yet, but the Lord put upon my heart that somewhere birthed from this church within the next 2 years will be some form of jail and prison ministry. We're going to go into our county jail in some way, and we're going to reach these men and women who are in jail. There's a local thing that just started through another church that's going to help rehabilitate these people when they come out of jail, but they need ministry in jail as well. So you know what would be great? If we do the ministry in jail and we can refer them to somewhere that can help them once they get out. You see, that's the whole thing I'm talking about with working with churches, helping each other, you know what I'm saying? I care much more about people getting saved than people coming to this church. We all need to think that way. We're going to see this happen through the Royal Family Kids thing that's going to start very soon. Seeing these underprivileged and abused kids, we're going to love on them for a week. I believe there's going to be adoptions that happen through that thing. I'm telling you. There will be in Jesus' name. I believe it. But we're going to help. It's not a ministry of our church. It's not going to have Victory Christian Fellowship plastered all over it because it doesn't need to. You know what name needs to be plastered on it? Jesus. There will be a lot of people in our church involved, and I praise God for that. They need more help. I'm going to tell you right now, they need more help. You even think like you're halfway interested in it, go talk to them after church today. We're going to give unselfishly. The third one is we're going to give unselfishly and obediently to the work of the kingdom. The first thing that we're going to give is our time. Time is our most valuable possession. Money comes and goes, it fluctuates, but there's always 24 hours in a day. There's always only 24 hours in a day. So sometimes time is harder to give than money. We're going to devote ourselves to putting God first because He's in control, and we surrender to His will, His guidance, and His direction. Are you finding how selfless that we're going to have to be throughout this all this that we're talking about that the Lord's setting before us? We're going to have to be selfless. We're going to have to give of ourselves. We're going to give God control of 100% of our finances and possessions, individually and corporately. How many of you notice I said 100% and not 10? We're going to give Him all of our finances and all of our possessions to be used at His disposal and His discretion. Because we know that He provides as we walk in obedience to Him. See, because that's the real heart of the issue. Another thing we're going to do is we're going to faithfully pay our tithe. How many of you know that tithe is 10%? It's a definition of the word. Tithe means a tenth. I'm going to preach on it in a few weeks, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it today. You bring your tithe to the storehouse, which is your local church. Everything else is an offering. So if you're here today and you call this your church home, then you're supposed to pay your tithe to the church. I will also say, if you're here today and you don't call this place your church home, don't give us your tithe. It goes to your home church. Because the issue with tithing is that it's a matter of obedience. It's not a wallet issue. It's a heart issue. It's putting our faith and trust in knowing that God will provide. We'll have giving hearts that go above and beyond just paying our tithes, meaning that we're willing to give whatever the Lord asks, whether it's money or possessions. Now, I'm not going to pat myself on the back. My wife and I have given several things away. We've given at least two cars away that I know of. We've given several things away. We've given away two cars, and we've been given one car since we've been married. And the car that we were given outvalued both of the other ones we gave away combined. Why? Because God's faithful. You will reap what you sow. But it's a matter of having a giving heart that says, you know what? Even if it's uncomfortable, and I'm here to tell you today that if you have a giving heart, God will test that. He will make you uncomfortable in what He asks you to give. There have been times, even when missionaries will come or I'll be in a service or whatever else, and the Lord will put a number on my heart to give to this person, I'll be like, God, you can't be serious. He says, I don't play games, man. So we give. You know, Scripture says that I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the sons of righteous begging for bread. And that's the way that it's been for our family. I can say this to you. Morgan and I have... Even when I wasn't serving the Lord as a teenager, I paid my tithe because I knew the principles. We've never gone without. Sometimes it's been a steak, sometimes it's been ramen noodles, but we've always had what we needed. We will be faithful in our giving. The Lord tells us to give, we will give, no matter what the cost. Because if He tells us to give, He'll provide in the end. Can we agree with that? How are we going to see this happen again? It's putting our faith and our trust in God and not in our income and our wallets, because He's our provider. It means that we will tithe. We will give above and beyond our tithe to various forms of ministry to see the gospel preached throughout the earth, because we're going to operate in faith. We will obey Him when He tells us to give, whether it's time, money, possessions, or anything else, even when it makes us uncomfortable. Because as He tests us in this, we're going to prove faithful to Him. Because I see our church reaching out to ministries within our community. I want our church to give more to the food pantry than we do right now. Impact Food Pantry. Praise God, they got a new facility. We need to give them more. I want us to reach out to various community outreaches and be able to give. And we're going to see it happen as we're all obedient in our giving. Amen? Because I'm here to tell you, our church pledges 11% of all of our income to some form of missions. 11%. It's not a set amount. We give a percentage, so we guarantee. We pay more than tithe as a church to missions. And God has blessed our finances. Ever since Morgan and I have been here, since we got here at the end of 2014, both years we've ended in a surplus. And I believe it's the laws of reaping and sowing. As we're faithful to give, the Lord provides. And the last thing that we're going to do is we're going to send workers into the harvest field. There's some big things in this one that I want everybody to listen to. The first thing is we will have a ministry team within this church. There will be a ministry team within this church. Meaning that there will be some within this body. The Lord's already given me two people that I'm not going to share their names in front of you right now because it's not the time. But there's going to be a team of ministers in this church. The church shouldn't skip a beat when I'm gone. I want you to understand something. First off, you're not getting rid of me. We're here for the long haul. Okay? And honestly, I don't plan to be gone very long or very often. Things pop up, doors open. But the truth is, a perfect example is next Sunday. Morgan and I are going to be in Ireland doing some ministry. Dave Burleson's going to be preaching Sunday. The church does not rise and fall with me. It simply rises with Jesus Christ. So because of that, we need a team of solid people that can help in the ministry of the church. Ephesians 4:11 tells us that He has given the fivefold ministry for the equipping of the body, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And those five functions need to happen in the body of Christ. They're needed. So guess what's going to happen? We're going to see them happen. Now the thing I want to say is that it's not a means for which to compete with one another. As of right now, like I said, everybody within the church that I feel like the Lord is putting in that, I already know who they are. So if you're competing, it's already a lost cause. Just being honest. But what I want to say is this. When something like this happens within a church, there's automatically a temptation for jealousy. Seeing people that you felt were your peers, and then they get elevated to a position of leadership, a servant leadership, by the way, a position of servant leadership within the church. Why are they doing it and I'm not? Because God said so. It doesn't get any more simple than that. So instead of being jealous, we pray for them, right? Are you catching a common theme here? We seek God, we pray, all these things. But we will see a team of ministers built up in this church. I believe it will come some from outside. I believe the Lord's going to move people here to build that work. I believe that God has set for our church to be a place that provides safety and healing for wounded and tired ministers of the gospel and their families. There are going to be families that come to our church that have been beat up by other churches, have been beat up in ministry. And we will provide healing for them. Some of them will stay. Some of them will be here a short season and go on to something else. But this will be a place for healing for those who are tired and weary, where they'll be strengthened, they'll be encouraged, They'll be built up. Some of them will be activated into ministry in this local body. Some of them will be sent out into ministry in other places. But we have to provide that atmosphere for them, that when they come, they know they're loved. Because many of these people that come here are going to come from places where they felt like they were all alone in ministry by themselves. And the Lord's given me a heart for those people. I guarantee you we will see them. I guarantee it. And it's our responsibility to provide a place that loves on them and helps them through that process. We will provide more money and more resources to domestic and foreign missions. I want to say this about money. Lauren, I want this to go on the books, okay, for our next board meeting. I don't want to raise this year. I'm serious. And I say that because I don't want anybody to think I'm trying to get a pay raise. So when review comes up in November, I'm serious. I don't want you guys going behind my back and give me one because you're generous, because you guys do that kind of stuff. I don't want to raise this year. But is that noted? Even if it's reluctantly noted by you, it's noted. I don't want anybody to think I'm coming up here with selfish motives. We got a job to do, people. And sometimes it takes money to make that job work. And I'm not asking for giving and obedience and giving to increase so I can pad my wallet and so we can do more in ministry. And this is the one that the Lord's really gripped my heart on. The Lord is going to use us to start our own work in an impoverished community. I don't know where it is yet. The Lord hasn't shown me that. It might be here in the United States and it might be somewhere foreign. But we're going to be used by God to provide resources that are spiritual and physical to help a community of impoverished people to learn what it means to stand firm in God and to have a better quality of life. It's a big task because we're talking about doing an apostolic work, going into somewhere, I'm saying as in the function of the apostle. It's going in and starting something from the ground up with people that are hurt, they're poor, they have nothing, and we're going to feed them the word, and we're going to feed them food, and we're going to help them however the Lord would direct. It will happen. So what do? Again, we trust God and we pray. We follow His direction. We encourage those within the church that the Lord will lift into positions of servant leadership, as well as those who will come from the outside and do the same. Because it's not about recognition, it's about the function within the body. The body being activated to do what it should. People operating in the giftings that God has given them. We will provide a loving environment for all people from all walks of life, no matter where they are, no matter where they come from, no matter the sin that they deal with, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We will encourage one another and build each other up, because no matter how big this church gets, we will always be a family. And some of you are going to ask, how is that possible as a church grows? In my opinion, it's very simple. I can't be everybody's best friend. Let's be honest with that. There's only so much time in a day. Nor can you. But when new people come into the church, the Lord will put them on your heart again as you seek Him. Relationships are formed, and it's a thing. Listen, disciples make disciples, make disciples, make disciples. So it's easy to stay a family. How many of you know that families get bigger? You have distant cousins and all this kind of stuff, right? But we're still family. We're still connected, right? So the real question is this, and I'm preparing to close a message, and then we're going to pray and activate some of this stuff. The real question is, how do we get from where we are now to the fulfillment of seeing these prophecies come to pass? I want to hammer a few things very quickly. The first, again, is that we trust God. He has given the vision. He gives the increase, and He gives the victory as we walk in obedience to Him. We found in the sermon series we just went through with Joshua, that when the people walked in obedience, they walked in victory. But when they walked in disobedience, they were defeated. I don't want to be like the children of Israel who walked in the wilderness for 40 years. I don't want to be like them when they fought against Ai and lost because somebody compromised. Let's get it right. Let's walk in obedience to the Father and do what He says. And as we do, He will bring the victory and carry us over into the promise. We will pray and intercede. I'm not talking about now I lay me down to sleep kind of prayers. We will touch the throne room of heaven with our voices as we cry out to God. We will seek Him fervently for His anointing, His wisdom, and His direction in all things. We will wait for His direction and will not jump the gun or do anything in our own timing and our own understanding. Simply put, we will pray, He will speak, we will obey. Amen. The church has to get into the prayer closet again. It shouldn't be on an intercessory body within the church to say, oh, we get our group of intercessors together and they pray and nobody else prays. We all need to be praying. And a lot of times what happens is we pray for our selfish needs. God, I need. God, this is going on in my life. I don't want a response to this, but I want you to think about this. When was the last time you prayed for the church? When was the last time you prayed for me? When was the last time you prayed for other leaders in the church? You see, what happens so often is we're quick to complain about what happens in the church instead of going to the Lord and saying, God, this is an issue. Please bring strength. Please bring wisdom. Bring resolution to the problem. But instead of helping the problem, we become the problem. When the church body functions the way that it should, everyone in the church seeks the Lord wholeheartedly in their life, in the life of their family, and within the church. We will stand together. We will care for one another. We will love each other, and we will provide for each other. We will not argue or complain. Instead, we will encourage and enable one another to be all that God has called us to be. Working together under God's leadership and direction means that great and mighty things will happen. We will see people saved. We will see people healed. We will see the demon-possessed set free. We will see blinded eyes opened. We will see deaf ears opened. Some of you think I'm getting radical. No, I'm getting biblical. We will see Him move. And the last is we're going to be obedient. We're going to give our time. We're going to give of our money and our resources. And we're going to give of ourselves. So I prophesy today that it's time for our church to cross over into the land that God's promised to us. I'm going to ask you to stand with me if you would.